We always talk about the new laws in California in January, but did you know there are a whole lot of new laws that go into effect in July? That's a different new year. That's the beginning of the state's fiscal year. Those new laws will affect everything from how you rent an apartment to how you get a driver's license to your safety in a bar or nightclub. We'll give you a rundown. And a potential change in laws nationwide could affect the treatment of unhoused individuals. We talked to the head of the Los Angeles Mission about the Supreme Court decision that some say could lead to the criminalization of homelessness. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. This is Fox 11 News In Depth. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled recently in the case of Grants Pass versus Johnson. The court ruled in favor of a small Oregon town that imposes civil punishments on homeless people for sleeping in public spaces. Of course, with any Supreme Court ruling, there are implications nationwide. And here in Los Angeles, with our large homeless contingent, we could feel the repercussions of this thing. So joining us to talk about that is the president and CEO of the Los Angeles Mission, Troy Vaughn. Troy, good to see you. And
thank you. Good seeing you.
Yeah, you have a bit of a familiarity with, the homeless issue here, because that's kind of what you deal with. But you also have a law degree. I know you're not a lawyer, but you have a law degree. And so kind of put this stuff together in perspective for us.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we've been under for a while is other rulings by the Ninth Circuit that has restricted capacity to provide services to our unhoused community. I think when you see today's ruling, what it does is it provides state and local officials a level of authority to implement and enforce policies to clear encampments. I think we have to be careful how we interpret it. We don't want to go to other extremes like we did with other rulings to interpret this as some way that we would start to criminalize individuals that are unhoused. We know that that is not a solution that works. What we do know that works is housing. We know that supportive services work, things that we provide here at Los Angeles Mission. So I think that we really need to come together to really understand how do we want to utilize such a ruling that would benefit our community the best.
Help me understand. I mean, first of all, you're right in the core of that downtown area, right? And you're dealing with other people who are also providing services to those who are on the street. You guys talk about this stuff? And is there some sense of, you know, how some of this may go down?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we have from a commitment from both our mayor, our government, and our council member here in Los Angeles downtown, Kevin DeLeon, is a clear commitment to make sure that we're providing safe, clear opportunities that would help people move out of encampments into housing. This does create an opportunity for us to have different conversations about using unutilized space. Many of our facilities that are located in downtown and across Los Angeles County, even within the city, we have unused capacity. I think this is an opportunity for us to fill that capacity and really create opportunities and understand what that means and really reinforce the opportunity for people to come out of an unhoused situation and move them into housing. I think that's what everyone wants.
And you have your own remarkable story, though. You have your own personal journey here, and now you're head of the LA Mission. But tell us about that journey that you went through.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm proof positive that a continuum of services works. I was homeless for close to 8 years, a little over 7 years, and right here in the heart of Skid Row. I'm eating in this very, sleeping in this very mission that I now have the privilege of overseeing. And I've been in multiple shelters that are down here. I went through a Christian discipleship program at one of our local missions here in Los Angeles. And now I have the privilege of leading this mission. And so when we understand that a life has value, what you will get is a product like a Troy Vaughn that maybe one day would be running a facility such as this type. You know, I was out of the Marine Corps dealing with drug-induced psychosis, really on the streets, and not able to help myself. And so I need a facility like the Los Angeles Mission to help me recover my life. And that's why it's important for us to really utilize the resources that are here in Los Angeles to a full capacity. I don't think that we're doing that as much as we can. I think that if we are able to use this ruling to help people to understand that there's opportunities, not jail, but opportunities for housing and resources, I think many people will avail themselves of that.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that's the point I want to make sure that we clear up in this whole segment. When we talk about the criminalization of homelessness, simple statement, what are we talking about here? Making the fact that you can't find a place to have a roof over your head a crime? No. It's about being in public places, right?
Yeah. You know, I think that what we're saying is that we don't want to criminalize it. I think there is fear among many that this tool be utilized to incarcerate people. And one of the things we know we cannot do is we can't jail people simply because they're unhoused. Being homeless and unhoused is not a crime. It's a tragedy, and we need to make sure that we're fixing it and we're throwing every solution we can. But we certainly don't want to say that because you cannot house yourself that you're a criminal. And because this is the law of the land now, we don't want to use that as an opportunity to incarcerate people. We cannot incarcerate ourselves out of this mess. We have to make sure we can only provide housing and services. This is the only thing that it will solve homelessness is housing.
We only have about a minute left, and I want to make sure we take that moment to talk a little bit about the services you provide. I mean, we hear about these missions during Thanksgiving and Christmas when meals are provided to those who need them. But what all do you do down there? In less than a minute, please.
Yeah, we provide more than shelter. We provide comprehensive housing. We provide employment, training, and placement services. We put people, we provide mental health services, other types of adjunct supportive services. We have great events that are not just here in the facility, but outside in our community. Our Back to School Explosion, in partnership with LA Unified School District, is meant to help people who are our young people who are facing. We have 15% of our children that are homeless in our communities. And so our Back to School Explosion will allow them to get free school supplies and help them to understand what they can do in terms of being able to go back to school with dignity, providing them lunch and food and meals and clothing and full school supplies. Those are the things that we do. Our Race to Feed event, where we're feeding many communities and providing activation centers across the city of Los Angeles and LA County, where we're actually going into outreach into the communities to actually place them in resources within their community.
Where can people go to get more information?
Yeah, at the losangelesmission.org. And then they can also text us at 24365. And so we are there on our website, losangelesmission.org, or they can text 24365.
Okay, very good.
And be able to give to our needs here at Los Angeles Mission.
All right, Troy Vaughn, thanks so much for joining us. All the best down there. I know what you guys do. I know it's very hard work, and it's important for an awful lot of people.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care. Thank you, Troy. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, from national laws to new local laws, we talked to our legal expert, Ugo Lord, about some new laws that went into effect in California at the beginning of July. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. California's legislators pass hundreds of new laws each year, most of which take place in January. That's when they go into effect. But sometimes they go into effect on July the 1st. That's the start of the state's fiscal year, and that's where we're at right now. And to bring us up to date on some of those, our legal eagle, Ugo Lord. And, Ugo, welcome back. And let's talk about some of those new laws, because, first of all, there are some new protections against date rape drugs, and let's start with that.
Yes, Hal, this is actually big, because it's affecting approximately 2,400 bars across across the state. Essentially, this requires bars to provide date rape drug detection to any type of patrons of that bar. And it's a very sophisticated but simple way that they do it, by allowing them to have test strips, stickers, or even straws that they can use right then and there to test their drink to make sure it hasn't been spiked.
But does the person have the right to say, I don't want you to test me?
Yeah, here's the great thing, is that this is all consumer-based. So it's very important for the consumer to know that they have to actually ask if they want their drink to be tested. It's not all drinks that will automatically be tested, but once the patron requests for their drink to be tested, then the bar is under an obligation to go ahead and, in fact, test that drink.
When does this begin?
It's effective now.
Started July 1st.
July 1st.
And so as of right now, somebody goes into a bar, they have some question whether their drink is safe. They say to the bartender, can you test my drink?
Absolutely.
And in every bar that we might go into,
yes,
there is an expectation that there is a test kit there?
Absolutely. The main thing is informing the public. So that's why this legislation also requires these bars to list signs at the bar. So that way patrons know that they even have the option to have their drink tested. And you're absolutely right. They can go in and say, hey, listen, I don't know what's going on with my drink. Can you test it? And at most locations, it will either be free or it will be very low cost to have that drink tested.
Yeah, I want to move on, but what if they find something in it?
Yeah, then, hey, listen, there's a bigger issue going on, because the reason why this legislation came about is because there are systematic issues with individuals going into a bar and leaving with horror stories, and this is a way to combat that.
There's a new law to help renters out with security deposits.
Oh, this is big for renters, because, Hal, it's interesting. Since the year 2000, the legislature has tracked the increase of rent, and we've seen that rent has increased by 36%. However, income has only increased in that same time by 6%. And this is a way to combat that. What it requires landlords to do is to be able to collect a security deposit, but that security deposit can be no more than 1 month's rent. Before this law, they could ask up to 3 months' rent.
But that's only the security deposit. That's not
Correct.
A pet deposit. That's not some other kind of deposit. It is just that.
Yes.
And so what about junk fees? Do we see any action on those?
Yeah, this is actually my favorite, because I hate junk fees, as many consumers do as well. We're talking about bars, restaurants, delivery apps. They now have to disclose upfront what the true cost is going to be for any type of meal that they purchase or they place. So that way you're not being attracted by low advertising prices for $9.99 to get your favorite meal, but by the time you add all the fees, it's $20, which is kind of
crazy. Now you're getting into truth in advertising there.
Yeah, absolutely. So this all stems down to, you know, whether or not there is a false advertising claim by hiding these surprise fees behind a checkout system, and this eliminates that. Now, there is an exception that the legislature just passed recently in June, which allows restaurants to add mandatory fees, such as mandatory gratuity, without having to disclose what that exactly is initially in the advertising, but the restaurant still must disclose that there is a mandatory fee, even under that exception.
How is it that the state is dealing with gun violence? They're incorporating some sort of a tax?
Yeah, it's interesting, Hal, because we talked about this in the beginning of the year, that California passed several measures as it relates to gun laws here in the state of California. But now in July, there's a new 11% tax that is going to be put onto every sale of a firearm, as well as the ammunition. And the goal is to use that 11% that the state is now making in this tax for gun violence prevention programs, and that's in effect right now.
But what is a gun violence prevention program? I mean, a program might be a lockbox. A
yes.
program might, but when they get it in the wrong hands,
yes.
Yes. You know.
Yes. So this law really combats gun safety issues. So that is being able to know when you have the right to use a firearm in self-defense, for example, how to operate a firearm safely, so to minimize any type of injuries to those that are around a target, knowing things, for example, that not only are you responsible legally for any target that you shoot, but any target behind what you shoot. But what the legislation doesn't directly address is what happens if a firearm gets in the wrong hands.
And there are some protections for those. who might forget to put their registration stickers on their license plates.
Yeah, that's the very interesting thing, because you have to, in the state of California, you have to register your car. You have to renew it. But no longer can a police officer pull you over for simply having expired tags unless those tags are at least 2 months old. So that cannot be the basis of getting pulled over, just expired tags less than 2 months alone.
All right, don't go away, Ugo Lord. We've got more to talk to you about. Coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we're back with some of California's new laws and a few laws that may have overstayed their welcome a little. One involves toads, but get ready for this one. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Hi. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, along with attorney Ugo Lord. And let's talk some more about some of those new laws going into effect here in July. And, you know, let's stick with the DMV for a second. They're giving some older drivers a break, right?
Yeah, here's the thing. The DMV has this new legislation which allows individuals to renew driver's license online. But before July, this was not eligible to those that were over 70. But now that has changed. If you're over 70 years old, you can renew your driver's license online. However, you still have to take a vision test. You also could be eligible to take a cognitive exam.
You have to go in to do that?
The best part is that there are programs online that offer you to take vision tests online and even some cognitive exams online as well. So you still, even if you're over 70, may not actually have to go into the DMV.
You know, some of this actually went into effect during the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where the state tried to make it easier for people to do what they needed to do. And so in a way, do you think that was sort of a testing ground for this?
Yeah, Hal, that's interesting that you say that, because the law really is a test. When you actually dive into the language of the law, and I'm a little nerdy like this, but when you dive into the language, it essentially gives the DMV the right to test this for a year. So this allows us to collect data on if there's any safety impacts by allowing people to renew their driver's license online while protecting seniors from having to stand in long lines in crowded spaces.
Well, that's what it does. It makes it easier for those who may find themselves, you know, a little uncomfortable walking around, their back hurts, their neck hurts.
Absolutely.
They don't have to come in and deal with that.
Absolutely.
You know, we want to talk about a couple of the laws that may be head scratchers.
Yeah.
And some are valid, but the first one might cut down on your frisbee time. So let's talk about playing catch on public property. That's against the law?
Yeah, you actually cannot play any type of sport on public property if that property is not designated for that sport. So don't go and play catch in an area where you can't play baseball. You cannot play even kickball on public land.
Dodgeball.
Nope, you can't do it, Hal. I'm sorry. Put your dodgeball shorts away, because you can't do it on public property.
Why are we doing that?
You know, the idea is that we have these flying objects that are happening around, and the goal is to protect those that are around in the environment. If you go to a baseball field, you have noticed that, yes, there could be a flying baseball. But if you're going to a park, for example, you may not be aware that potentially there are these objects that can come at you from anywhere. So the goal is to try and protect those around from any potential injury.
And there has to be signage.
Yeah, there has to be these type of signage to let people know that you're entering a designated area where you could potentially be injured if you're not paying attention.
No roller skating in Compton?
Yeah, that cannot happen. Yeah, roller skating, skateboarding, no, you cannot do it, especially if you are on any type of public property. And again, when we look at skateboarders and roller skaters, yes, there are those that use this as valid means of transportation, but the issue that we've seen recently in these recent years are people doing trick shots. And again, it has to do with the injury to the public.
And that's where you get into the danger zone. Talk about the one that has to deal with balloons.
Yeah, here's the thing, that it's actually sounds crazy, but it makes perfect sense. You cannot legally release balloons in public. I mean, this was big for graduations that happened not too long ago, where individuals would graduate and then release these balloons. The reason why you cannot legally release balloons is because if certain balloons get caught in power lines, they can explode, like instantaneous
combustion. But we're at 2024. Why haven't we dealt with this before?
Yeah, here's the thing. We need to figure out how to make balloons that can be safe if they're accidentally released. Because there's I mean, myself personally, I took my goddaughter out for her birthday. I opened up my car and I lost at least 10 balloons. The idea is to try and make it better for our power grid so we don't lose power unintentionally. But we should also look at making balloons safer.
Okay, getting back to the Frisbee again. Yes. You go to the beach, you want to play Frisbee, but you have to ask a lifeguard if you can play Frisbee?
Yeah, there's no Frisbee playing unless you ask a lifeguard for permission. That is the law here in the state of California.
Can a lifeguard say no?
Yeah, they absolutely can say
really?
No. And it has to do with how crowded the beach is. And that it's the lifeguard's job to protect not only those that are in the water, but those that are enjoying family time on the beach as well. If a beach is too crowded, that lifeguard has the ability to say, hey, no Frisbee today.
Okay, all right. Now, folks, this one's real because this one, not sure the history on this, but it is illegal to lick a toad.
Yeah, listen, I know you must be disappointed, Hal, but put the toad down because you cannot lick toads in the state of
Besides
California.
Getting warts, what's the problem here?
Well, you know, it's interesting because many people may not know this, and it's a good thing if they don't, but apparently toads emit a certain type of chemical that if an individual licks them, it can actually produce a psychedelic effect.
Is it certain types of toads, though?
Yeah, it's certain type of toads, and I don't know which ones, to be honest with you, but yes, there are certain type of toads that do release this chemical compound that if you lick it, you can actually get high off of it. Not only that, you can actually have a terrible reaction as well, you know, and be poisoned because that's essentially what
and
it
people
is.
People really do this.
It happens so often that the National Park Service has released a warning nationwide to all 50 states pleading for people to stop doing this. California actually made it a law to stop doing it as well.
All right. There's another one here that kind of head-scratcher for me. It's illegal to cry on the stand in a courtroom?
Yeah, this is interesting because the idea is all about...
We only have 30 seconds or so.
Okay, the idea is to prevent any type of false testimony. That is trying to get the jury on your side.
But the thing is, when you emote because you're feeling this emotion.
That's true.
Because you're faking it.
You know what? I'd be pressed to see if there's any prosecutor that would actually prosecute based on this law. If you cry naturally, do it, but don't do it to try and persuade a jury to go on your side.
And that's what you're going to tell your clients.
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay. All right. Ugo Lord, attorney extraordinaire. Thank you very much. And we'll have more Fox 11 News in depth coming up right after this break. Don't go away.
Thank you so much, Hal. You know, I appreciate you. I love coming on every single time.
You
know,
and finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.